Hello, everyone. It's Tanya Gabrielle, and I'm really happy to talk to you today. It's November 10th, and this is our November Astral Alliance Mastermind Support Call, and there's lots I want to go over with you today. It's going to be a really content-rich call today, and then I have one of you actually sent in a sales page, which I'm going to critique, and that'll be really fun. Now, if any of you have a question, be sure to email me, or I think there's a way to actually get on the Q&A if you go to the webcast, right? So you can actually send in questions that way as well. But emailing me is definitely a good way to go, support@tanyagabrielle.com, and I can check real quick if you are emailing, while we're on the call. Of course, the best way to be in touch is to actually get into the queue, and the way you do that is you press *2. So we've changed that. Remember, it's not *6 anymore, it's *2. So if you want to get in the queue, press that, and I will absolutely talk to you today. So I want to get into the content right now because we've moved through the two eclipses. I'm sure you've braved them and recovered, and we've had Mercury retrograde, and that's over with. So this is really an important moment for us to move forward in our businesses. And even though it's a 9 universal month, that's okay. It's still, you know, a really fantastic time because of the new beginnings feeling that we're experiencing now. When you have two big eclipses during Mercury retrograde, it really is a culmination of sorts, and so the processing and the reflection time is over now, and so whatever you've discovered during that time now needs to be implemented. So it's a fantastic moment to do that. So let me get to what I was going to discuss with you today. So I hope you have a pen and paper ready so we can talk. Know that you're processing what I'm about to share with you, and that is, I know all of you eventually will be hosting some kind of event, whether it is small, whether it's online, it could be as small as something like a teleseminar, it could be a live event, it could be a small group event, it could be a webinar. There are many, many ways to hold an event. Though the things I'm going to tell you about today are going to encompass all of that, and so that means we're going to go as deep as holding an actual live event. So the first thing you do, the key decisions about any event that I just mentioned, is you want to decide who it is for, okay? So the first key decision is who is it for. The second key decision that you always have to make is why should they attend? And this one is important too, because anytime you ask somebody to pay, so if this is not a free event, but it is a live stream like I had on Saturday, right? I had that money making formula live stream, and so people paid for that. So when you ask people to pay, you have to cover more ground because you're asking for money in return for a service. And so you have to be even more clear about what they're getting. So why should they attend? Why won't they attend and how to fix that? And what are your unique selling propositions? Like, what is it that makes this event so unique that you can sell it in a certain way? Okay? And finally, what of your purposes will this event serve? So what's the purpose for you to have this event happen? And that could be, obviously the event has to be very content rich, and during one part of the event, the purpose is also to upsell them to a new program that you're offering. This is what I did on Saturday, right? So that's what I mean by what is your purpose? What does it serve for your business? Why are you holding it? If you don't have a reason for having an event, then, you know, in terms of your business, then why are you hosting it, right? Because you're asking for money, so what's the reason here for you? So the who is the event for is very important. So, I mean, you can plan an event and you can figure out, you know, a lot of things about it, but how are you going to approach the who is it for part? And what most people, the mistake most people make is they are trying to figure out how can we convince people that they should want to come to this event, right, whether it's online or live. And that's not the correct approach, okay, because that's not what they want to hear from you. So you've got to know why they should attend and why they won't attend and fix that part. Okay, so this is very, very important to understand. So then the next proposition is you need to know the reasons why they come. So the way you do that is, you know, some people don't care about some of the activities at the event and they just want the facts that you're going to offer. And someone else doesn't want any of the facts that you have to offer, but they're coming because it's going to be a great experience to be around other people of like-minded, like-minded interests or connections, right? Soul connections. And so there's many reasons people come. And so you need to understand what those reasons are and address them in your copy, in your sales copy. Now, one of the things that really helps is to have a theme. So when you advertise a webinar and or a teleseminar or an actual live event or a live stream, you actually can have a theme. And this is really, really important. The theme, like the theme park, right? Disney theme parks, anything that has a theme is an immediate emotional connection that you forge with your prospects. And so it's really, really important, the theme part. So write that down. Theme is important. Then you want to have some kind of timely relevance, if it's possible. Sometimes it's not. Of course, in astronumerology it is. You absolutely can have timely relevance. For example, my recent event 2 days ago, 2015 money-making formula. It was timely. It was for next year. I had an event at the end of 2011 that was all about 2012, right? So there's ways to make it timely. And so it's very important that you actually use some kind of timely relevance if you plan to do an annual event. The reason for that is a lot of the same people that you want to have come back for the second, third, fourth, fifth time, they will come back if it is timely because they'll realize, oh, my gosh, you know, Tanya's having another event, and this time it's on this. And that makes so much sense, right? So they'll come again, not just once. Another thing to keep in mind is you want to have a really good speaker, at least one good speaker there. And I don't like the events where it's just speaker after speaker after speaker selling their stuff. I mean, that's not on, and I would never do that. And it really gets old, and you don't feel like there's really a sense of purpose for being there except to, you know, purchase from all these different speakers. That's not what I call a good event. But it really helps to have at least one person there who is considered either some kind of celebrity in your field or has a really strong connection to your audience that you can forge. And that connection is forged through the storytelling abilities of that celebrity guest, right? So, but one of the things these guests do is they improve the mood just by virtue of having somebody there that people are excited about aside from you. I mean, they're already there because of you. But if you have an additional guest that creates excitement, there's something really magical that can happen because the mood is elevated, and elevated mood improves everything about your event. Now, do you have this on a webinar, a teleseminar? It helps, you know. It's not always necessary, but certainly in a live event you would. And if you are having a paid webinar, it really does help as well. Now, I did have a surprise guest yesterday, Saturday, Helene Olson, who did an amazing angel transmission on abundance. Now, I didn't advertise that in my copy. It was just something I threw in you know, I planned it. I didn't throw it in like last minute, but I threw it in as a surprise for people once they got onto the actual event on Saturday. So nobody actually knew that she was going to be there. That's one way to do it. You can do that on a webinar. In a live event, I wouldn't have done that. I would have actually advertised that she's going to be there and either called her a mystery guest but said what she was, you know, going to, or allude to what she was going to do, or actually name the person, you know. So it's important to have that quality as well. So here's the thing. Any speaker that you have on your online or offline live event needs to have the ability to tell a good personal story or a relevant story, even if it's a celebrity, meaning somebody who people just want to hear because they're there, right? Even that person has to have some kind of good personal story or relevant story for them to not bomb your event, meaning cause a real feeling of lack of connection or the energy dissipates and all of that. So it's not like you just stick somebody in who you think might be amazing. You've got to find a way to make that guest tremendously connect with your particular audience, right, with their interests, with what it is you do and what it is your event is about. And so, you know, you just have to figure out who that person would be. You also want whoever your speaker or guest is to be useful in the lead up to the event. And that might be as simple as getting them onto a teleseminar, which is a very, this is something that is often done in, you know, as you actually do the marketing for the event, is you have a free teleseminar, you feature one of the guests who is going to be on your event, and you have them support you. They're going to be useful in the lead up to the event. So this is a really, really good thing to do. Or you can write up things in their name and they can easily approve it. So you can do that as well. Or they have something to offer everyone that they can purchase because it's already gone out, it's gone to print or whatever it is, or the DVD's already created, and that will help to promote them as well. So if they're not going to be useful or helpful at all, then you have to really think twice about whether or not they're going to work for you, okay? So keep that in mind as well. One of the things that these bigger events have to offer, which I have not done but is something, you know, I just want to bring up now because it is something that more and more people expect, and that is that to have some kind of other sessions going on during the main event. So they're called breakout sessions. So some people are drawn to go to an event, and this is a live event now. We're not talking webinar, right? We're talking a live event. Some people are drawn to attend an event because there are certain breakout sessions that pique their interest. And so that's one thing, you know, that's possible to do. Now, obviously, this is very high-end stuff if you're going to start doing breakout sessions, but I needed to mention that. Okay, so here's another thing to do is, depending on the niche that you're in, you can really ingrain this into their actual mentality or culture, and that is to have awards and recognition. So you can lock in a whole bunch of attendance to your event based on the kind of awards you're going to give out, because they're coming to get their award, right? They're coming because that's what's going, they're going to be featured. So you can even have an awards dinner. You can have it that way, or you can just give the award at the end. There are different ways to do it, but it's a wonderful way of having, you know, part of your list just want to be there and not want to miss this event. It's really incredible to follow that model. Another thing to keep in mind is that your event is the place to be. Again, this is now for online or offline. It's the place to be, meaning either they want to be there next week at, you know, 12 p.m. Eastern because it's going to be so awesome. Or it's the place to be literally. They would not ever miss this live event in Austin, Texas because they're a chiropractor and there's no way that they would never go to this event, right? So it's that kind of, it's a place to be kind of feeling. Okay, so, and then one of the other little perks you can offer is if you have actual exhibits, so you have, you know, clients of yours who exhibit their products. And so, because people do like to shop, they do like to go out in the during the breaks and look for stuff, and it's exciting. So this is, it makes it more of an event. So that's again, that's a more higher end thing for an actual real live event. And then here's another thing you can do. You can have a contest, and I've done this before in my live events, where literally you put numbers in a hat or whatever, and you have a way for people to win certain things. And this contest piques their interest, and they're excited all the way up until the end, because of course the contest is usually near the end. So you get the names and all of that, and then you have the contest, and it's just, you know how it is. It's one of those triggers emotionally that you can use. There's got to be some kind of take-home value because people want to know that they're going to go home with something they can use, and that to me has always been the manual. So you want to, you know, for me, I always create a manual for each event, and I think most entrepreneurs do that, or they create an actual blueprint. I've done that many times in live events or even online events. Like I created a blueprint for the money-making formula on Saturday. So that's take-home value. Now, here's the next part of this that I want to go into, and I told you this is going to be very content-rich. So listen to the call again if you're not getting all of this down. But the next part of this whole selling of your event is the campaign. So the campaign needs to have at least a three-phase marketing campaign. So the three phrases that or phases that you must have, at least have these for any you know, marketing campaign is for something that you're selling, for an event that you're selling, is there's got to be an early bird period where the people who love you and have, you know, purchased from you before and are your best clients say, we're going to go to this even though, you know, you haven't figured it all out, you don't have the best web page up yet, or you're just giving a pre-sale ticket release at a low-end price, and these people know it's going to be good. They've been to previous ones, or even if they haven't, they're a client of yours who just wants to go to everything that you offer, and so they get this super early bird special, okay? And so you do almost like a rough sales letter. It's not perfect. It's got some gaps. It's not completely finished. But, you know, if you register now, you can get a better deal than anybody else will ever get again once I start promoting the event in earnest. Okay, this is often done. It's a fabulous tool to use because they feel, you know, like, wow, you know, of course I'm going to get this. And it's a wonderful way to get the first big bunch of people in. Then, you know, and by the way, you need time to do this, so meaning you have to have a certain window of time in order to pull off this kind of campaign. So if you're doing for example, I had that online webinar, you know, if I had more time, I would have offered it in this three-tier campaign mode, but certainly for a live event, every time I've done an actual live event here in LA or wherever else I've had them, I've had this campaign strategy because it's really, really powerful. It really works. So then there is, after a certain period of time, the main campaign. And this is where everything's done. You've got the website done. You've got all the bullet points. You've got when the teleseminars are, the free teleseminars to promote the event. You've got the whole event planned, and you know exactly what the event is all about, and you know who's going to be there. You have your guests lined up. All of this, by the way, or a lot of it, you haven't completely figured out for the early bird, okay? But by now you have. You've got a thorough price strategy of the multi-pay plan and the full pay plan, and and you know how you're going to market the campaign with a deadline or a series of deadlines, you have all of this mapped out now. So this is the main campaign now. So that's done. You do that for the longest time, right, is the main campaign. And then you do the late stuff for the person who, there are always people who wait to the very last minute. And if you still have capacity in your room or in your webinar, which of course you would in a webinar situation, but in an actual physical room, if you still have, if you haven't filled the room yet and it's not to capacity and you can squeeze in some more chairs, right, then you can do the actual thing where you say, well, we've got, seven seats left and go grab it now. Go grab your seat now. And if you don't, the price is going to go up, in a week, and et cetera. One of my mentors actually would every day incrementally increase the price to get people to come. So he'd increase it, I think, like by $15 increments or something like that, like every day, right, so that people realized they would go back every day and they'd realize, oh, my God, he's serious. He's totally serious. He's raising the price every day. I better buy my ticket now. So, there's, I wouldn't do that myself, but there's ways to really give urgency, right, to the actual sales process. So other incentives and urgencies are discounts, deadlines, scarcity, and here's the thing. I want you to really, really understand this. If you ever let your people, your group, believe that your deadlines are not real or that the scarcity isn't real, you're going to really... it's not a good thing. It's got to be real. It's got to be honest. You cannot pretend, because energetically, first of all, it's not going to align, and it's just not a good thing to do. And I've seen it done where people have actually said things that are not true, and it comes back to haunt them because it doesn't sell well, because they know, so they're energetically not aligned to what they just wrote, and that comes through on the other end. But when you do know it's real, there's always a flood of activity at the deadline. Always, always, always. And I can totally vouch for that. On Tuesday, I had a deadline just 6 days ago for my money-making formula. And on that day, I got the most orders of the whole campaign. In fact, we were so flooded with orders, we had people clamoring after the midnight deadline because they couldn't order. It was that strong. And, it was a problem for me, a very good problem, but I was up till 4 a.m. three nights in a row creating those planners because we had so many orders on that final day. I certainly was, it's not like I didn't expect anything. I just put it out there, and it happened, and I was like, whoa, So that's what I mean. There's a difference between being completely congruent and pretending that there is no more room, and people will know if you're not honest. So now, if you do happen to change a deadline period, and sometimes you have to do that, you need to change up the offer somehow as well, right? So you've got to always have to make it better. So if you change a deadline, like if you move from November 12th to the 18th or something, you have to add something. Why are you doing that? So you have to make it somehow less appealing, so that you have to charge more, right? Or you take away one of the bonuses that they're getting. Or, they won't get that after that certain date, for example. Or that's what I mean by less appealing, right? Or you have to change it up so, nobody's getting a better deal by being the last person in. Otherwise, pretty soon everybody waits to be the last person in, and now you're, a couple weeks away from the event, and you've got four seats filled, and you're having, heart problems because you're not filling the room. So you really, really need to understand that there's a whole process to this. And that's why live events, actual real live events, are can be very stressful because you are trying to fill the room, right? That's the whole point, and it takes a lot of work to do that. So, okay, let's see if there's anything else I want to share with you. You know what? Here's the thing. You do need to have an adequate list size, okay? So a thumbs up is that you're going to be able to put approximately 5% to 20% of your active members into a live event where they're actually traveling. Now, you can put a lot more in for a live stream webinar than that, but because they're not traveling, even though they would be paying. But for an actual event where they have to get up and travel and pay hotel and all that, about 5 to 20% of your active members or customers. So see what percent of your list has purchased from you. See what how many people that is. And then just know about 5 to 20% will go, right? Of course, your marketing has to be good. Your selling has to be correct. It has to be congruent. Now, if you're trying to get 500 people in the room from 3,000 active members, you need a little bit more to draw on than that. It's hard to have a list of 3,000 and get 500 or 300 and get 50. Just think more about the lower end, the 5% rule, because I don't want you to feel disappointed. So if you're planning this way, just think that way. So that way you won't be disappointed, right? And so you can get the correct size room for your event. So let's see, is there anything else? You definitely want to have testimonials that counter objections and reasons not to be there. So testimonials in general are really good, okay? Then let's see. You know, the location of your event, if it's live, does matter. It's not that you wanted to be dependent on being in Las Vegas or, you know, L.A. or San Diego or wherever the other fun places is people like having events, Phoenix. But it can be a draw, but don't be dependent on it. People can overestimate that. I know live events that have been held in very weird places that you wouldn't think people would want to go to, and they probably wouldn't unless it was for the event. I've had live events in very out-of-the-way places, and they've been very successful. So don't overestimate that, but the other thing is it does matter a little bit. Like, it should be easily reachable. I mean, I've had events in places like in Michigan. I lived in a small town for a year, and I still had two live events there during that year. And people did come. They came, they flew into Chicago, and they drove all the way for 2 hours to the town I was living in, and they came, and they stayed, so which was awesome. But if I want to have a really good turnout, I need to have it in Chicago, not 2 hours away where they have to get in the car, right? Or I have to have it where it's easy to get from the airport to the hotel, so there's a free shuttle. Unless it's just a beautiful special location, like, you know, that you've chosen and people are coming for that reason. But really, in the end, it shouldn't be difficult to get there. Okay, so those are some of the real important hints for you to really run a good live event. But also, a lot of this stuff I just gave you can be used to actually plan and run and market an online webinar or teleseminar, that especially that if you're asking for funds in return, whatever that price point would be. And you can use these pointers, again, for whenever you will have the opportunity to host such an event, which hopefully many of you are going to be doing or have done and now have more of an idea of how to do this. So you have the copywriting, of course, from our first live meeting to help you with how to write the sales pitch for something like this. I won't go into that. What I do want to do is get to your calls. There are a couple people lined up, and also get to one of you did send in a sales letter, which I'm going to look at now. And so let me just take a quick drink of water. I'm still actually recovering a bit from the weekend. So I'm needing to drink more water than usual. Like, you know, it takes a lot to do these events. And not that mine was literally here in LA, but it was a 5-hour live stream. And it, you know, to put the pieces in place for something like that, it just takes a lot because, you know, I'm in the front end and the back end. I have to manage my team, and I need to be there live for my clients. So there's a real fine balance to hold just within yourself to be able to handle that kind of pressure. And it's really pressure-filled when you're doing this, the day of and even the days leading into it. As I said, I was up to 3 a.m. one day and 4:30 a.m. another day and 1 a.m. the day before that. But the last 2 days before my live event, I had slept 5 hours the last 2 days before my live event. So, and I still was able to be present. I was able to you know, manage all the little crises that come up the day of. And there were plenty because people hadn't received their planners. So we had a huge customer service fiasco literally when the event started that's all stuff that can happen. So you need to be prepared for things like that and have people ready to be on your team and handle them so that you can be present because you're the front person. You're the person up front who's actually the reason people have signed on and paid for the event. So, you know, it takes a certain kind of strength and ability to be able to throw off those issues when they come up and still be there present as the person who is, you know, on stage to handle that. And so that's why it's good to start with smaller events because they really are easier to manage. And one-day events are much easier to manage than even two-day events. So I highly recommend that if you haven't had a live event before, that you have a one-day event first, and then you can move into two- or three-day events. It's just easier because there's less logistical stuff to deal with. So, so that's why I'm still in recovery mode, because it does take a little bit after you host something like this to regroup, because you are then dealing with customer service on the other side of the event as well. So I was working all day yesterday, and I couldn't lie down. I couldn't sleep as much as I wanted to. So it does take some, you know, some real planning there. Okay, so let me look at Angela. Angela, you sent in this beautiful sales letter, and I really like it. I love how succinct you were, how you really were able to hone in on what you were selling. And let me just tell people what this is. This is a sales page for your name by the numbers report. And so you're selling something like the Is Money Fortunate report. It's similar to that, I'm assuming. So let me just tell you one of the things about your first bullet point section. I'm going to get out all of my notes here that I took down for you. I'm going to get this in front of me. Okay, so here's the thing. You actually started the first bullet point. You have three, right? So the way these start is you say, the secret is that how difficult or easy your life is may actually depend on your name and how it's spelled. The secret is, I wouldn't have said that way. Let me just give you a little hint here. The word that, when you use the word that, use it sparingly. It's one of the copywriting secrets. You do not want to use that too many times. So when you say the secret is that how difficult or easy your life is, it doesn't read well. So you want to say something like, the secret is the difficulty of your life or the challenges in your life actually depend on whether your name resonates to a good number or a challenging number. Or the secret is your life is either difficult or easy depending on how your name is spelled, right? That's much more clear. It's not so complicated. So that's how I would say that. Then you have your bullet points. Okay, so the first one is, what would it mean to you to have more ease in your daily life? It's pretty good, okay? But then the next one you say, how about more flow? That's not a bullet point. I would either start it the same way, like, what would it mean to you to be in the flow? You know, so to continue the what would it mean to you. Or you can even start the bullet points this way. Before they even begin, you could say, what would it mean to you, and then the bullet points are, to have more ease in your daily life, right? To have more flow. And then your third bullet point is, would you like to attract more abundance and prosperity into your life? So that would then read, to attract more abundance and prosperity into your life, right? So that reads easier because it's congruent. The bullet points actually line up with each other. They read easily from one to the next to the next. So you want that to happen. You want it to be so really seamless, okay? You then go on to say the next sentence after these three bullet points, you say, yes, we're talking about money and finances here. Okay, so you need to bring in the name. You need to really hone in that this is the name. Yes, the name you're using is literally affecting the your financial life or your income or your ability to attract wealth, something like that. So bring in the name again. Hone it in. Then you say, how fortunate your life is does depend on the spelling of your name. And the best news is you have the power to change your name if it's a challenging spelling. Say, you have the power to change your name if it is challenging. If you put in too many ideas, you have the power to change your name if it's a challenging spelling, it's almost like, because you're using this as a headline, it's like a subhead. You've bolded it, you've centered it, so it's not just a sentence. You're going to have to make that just one idea, not two. So say, you have the power to change your name if it's challenging, not if it's a challenging spelling, because then their mind goes to the spelling. Then they're thinking the next thought, not the power to change your name, right? So do you see what I'm saying? So you got to stay simple with these headers. Don't put two ideas in them. Okay, then you talk a little bit, as you know, your life is moving fast today, now more than ever. All that is good. You're talking about all the pain. Your kids keep getting sick. Their friends want to come over and play. Your house is a mess. Your deadline for work is looming. You can't forget to feed Max. Poor dog. I love your humor, by the way. It's really good, Angela. Very, very nice. While all these things in your life are happening, are you really living the life you want? Okay. That's pretty good. Just by modifying the spelling of your name, you could attract more abundance and ease into your daily activities. Okay, and this is where you have to, you just said into your daily activities, right? Now you have to say something else, because you've now opened the door. You've just said, just by modifying the spelling of your name, you could attract more abundance and ease into your daily activities. The next sentence should be, and this applies to all areas of your life. And then you list those areas. What else does this apply to? You've got to elaborate on this point, because this is the most important point, right? Before you go into it's super easy to, before you go into the how, you got to you got to spell out what this is about so people really get, wow, this is a big deal, your name, right? It affects everything. So it's super easy to find out how fortunate or challenging the spelling of your name is. That's good. But then here's, you make a mistake. You put in that sentence, and then you have an order now button. It's too early. Don't put that in yet. Okay. I would have waited a little longer. I would have elaborated a little bit more on how super easy it is. And actually, your next series of bullet points where you describe that report, the name report, I would actually say to put your first order here below that. I think it's better because you're actually telling them what they're getting before they purchase. You see what I mean? So, and I don't know if you're on the call. If you are, why don't you raise your hand? We can talk more about this if you have questions, Angela. So, and then you say, remember, you can change your name and your life for the better. From personal experience, I can tell you this is an easy fix. I changed my current name for the better, and now I'm making my dreams of building an online business come true. Same can happen for you. Okay, this is where you also need testimonials. You have to then say, because, you know, you can say all you want that it helped you, but it's much better to say, and I like that you're saying that, don't get me wrong, Angela, but you do also want to put in some testimonials, and that's why I said, I think it was in our first meeting, where I mentioned that you want to make this report for your friends so that you get some testimonials for them or acquaintances, like give it to them in exchange for a testimonial. And that's the easiest way to get testimonials from people for your sales pages without them having to purchase. If you just started your business and that's what you need, that's how you do it. You give it as a free gift in exchange for a testimonial. So get some of those, have at least two or three. It helps like nothing else. I mean, you got to give proof. Give proof, give proof, give proof. If you don't give proof, it's much harder to sell. Okay, so... And sometimes you can't give proof, like for my upsell on Saturday for my new wealth generation, what is it called? I'm like out of it. My wealth generation program that I'm offering for next year, which I'm so excited about. I didn't have testimonials for that because it's a new program. So, but what I do have on my website are testimonials for other mentoring programs, so at least, you know, that is something that can be utilized. So sometimes you're not able to, if it's something like that, where the program actually hasn't been experienced by anybody, and there's no way to have a friend experience a program that is literally a program. It's not an actual info product. It's not a report. It's not something you can create, you know, before you do the selling part, right? So in that case, you have to sell a little bit differently. But this is not the case for you, so you should be able to get some of these testimonials. Okay, so then you have the good PSs. Let's see, take advantage of my introductory special. Let me see here. I did write some notes about this. Trying to find my notes on the PS, because there is a way to write PSs, and some of what you are doing, and I know we did go over this in the copywriting section, when you say take advantage of my introductory special, just $55 today, that is sort of like hard selling. You don't necessarily want to do that with your kind of niche. You can say invest in yourself now before this introductory price is gone forever, but you're capitalizing too much and it's too in your face a little bit. So you want to tone it down a little bit and still make it urgent by either having a deadline, an actual deadline, right? So you can actually say that they have to purchase by a certain time. Remember, you must respond by date to qualify for this special offer or whatever it is that you say. So that's one thing, that first PS you need to change a little bit. And or if you have a gift to give them, a bonus, you want to say in this PS, to claim your free, and then you name the bonus, simply go here, right? Or you start the sentence, remember, okay? Start the sentence that way. So PS, remember, comma, you must take advantage of my introductory special today in order to whatever you say, okay? Or don't forget, something like that. Okay, so you can also start a PS this way. You can say, I should also mention that, dot, dot, dot. You can start a PS by saying, let me emphasize that, blah, blah, blah. You can add something else. I've done that many times where you say, if you act now, comma, you'll also receive, dot, dot, dot. Now, this is just in general for all of you on the call. This is one way to go. So, yeah. And then, you know, don't delay, exclamation point. I'm looking at your second PPS. The first 10 people who order this month receive a 20% discount off the introductory price. And then you say, that's right. This report could be yours at a lower price, just 44. Okay. Don't say don't delay. Again, that's a little bit too hard of a sell. You want to do more soft selling for this kind of niche. So you got to say something like remember, comma, or don't forget. And you do comma instead of exclamation point. So don't forget, comma, the first 10 people who order this month receive that 20% discount. And don't say off the introductory price. Just say receive that 20% discount. You don't have to say that's right, okay? You don't have to say this report could be yours at a lower price, just 44. That it's just too much. It's just too long a PS, and then it's sort of a turnoff. So you just have to have that one sentence, okay? So stop wondering, just order. I wouldn't say that either. It's just better not to say that. So that's your sales page. But, you know, it was a really good first sales letter. So, you know, we're looking at the first draft here with you. I'd love to see the second draft of this. And by the way, put it up. Don't wait for our next call before you put it up. You need to start selling it. You need to start making some income. So get it up based on what I just said and start the process, okay? Okay, I hope you're on the call in case you have follow-up questions. But let me go to questions now. Let me see. We have – let me unclick this one. Hello? Oh. Let's see. Here we go. Hello?
Hello.
Hey. Who is it?
Tanya, Shirley, hi.
Oh, hi, Shirley. How are you?
I'm okay. Glad to be on this call today. I have listened to most of the recordings on the call on Saturday because I was in another event at the exact same time.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed that. I have several questions that are kind of all together in one way or another. One thing is it is now the case that my husband and I are absolutely getting divorced, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I am wondering about whether or not it's appropriate to communicate that to my clients, many of whom are my friends or know me well or know me over a period of time and care about me, is it appropriate to communicate that at all in any kind of formal way? Is that something I might just mention? You know, a lot of them know each other, so if one of them knows and then they mention the other one, the person could feel like, well, why didn't you tell me yourself? I don't know. What is your...
Gosh. Okay. Wow, this is a very good question. So here's the thing. I've been through what you're going through, so I can actually answer it.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I did get divorced. When was it? you remember the year, 2010. And I did not tell my list. And the reason is, and I have a pretty big list, and, you know, of course, a lot of my friends are on the list, which everybody has that, their friends are on the list. I would tell my friends personally. I wouldn't just tell you. It's really none of your list business what happens in your personal life. So as much as you may think they are part of your family, they're actually not. They're part of your business family, but they're not part of your heart-centered soul family. And those people are people you're in touch with anyway, the people
yes.
who really are care for you. So there's no reason whatsoever to tell them unless it's something you are sharing with them because it actually fits into your message. Now, I have seen that. I have seen certain people take a very painful moment in their life, or even if it wasn't painful, but it was a big, big, big shift, and they eventually talked about it because it was actually relevant to what they were, trying to impart into their list. So that would be the only reason to do it. I've never done it, and I did get together with my ex. We did try to. We wanted to give it one more go because we do have a daughter, and there was a lot of, you know, things that seemed in my mind that needed to get resolved. And even that, I did not say anything. And we ended up not staying together, and it was fine. We're very close friends. But I'm not talking about that stuff to my list. I don't think it's really any of their business in it. And if it starts becoming their business, you're going to start having issues because they're going to
okay.
really start asking you questions, you know.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that part very helpful. Second thing, this is kind of in no particular order. I have not, in my personal life has been overwhelming my business life to some degree. And so I want to get back in touch with my list. I mean, I finally have my new website up. I'd like for them to go and look. It's my birthday, November 26th. It's Thanksgiving the day after. I mean, there are a lot
Yay.
Of reasons that I could.
Happy
that
birthday,
I could,
yes.
Thank you. There are a lot of things that I could say, mainly just thank you. Thank you for being my client. Thank you for being through all of this. And in some way or another, I really would like to offer some kind of holiday special.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Good.
And not like a big campaign or whatever, but just, you know, just to say I'm really glad you're my client. I've combined my offering. I have some new offerings. I've combined some of my offerings I've had for a while in new ways. I'd love for you to support yourself through the holidays by taking advantage of this. So is that a perfect
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the perfect time for you. In fact, you have two reasons to have a holiday sale, your birthday and the actual fact that it is the holiday. So,
yeah.
You know, those are the moments, and I think I have talked about this before, is you use those special times of the year as a reason to have a moment where you share discounts with your list, and there's going to always be a segment of your list who will only purchase when things are discounted, and
mm-hmm.
it's just the nature of human beings. You know, some of them only purchase when things are on sale in general in their life. Some only purchase when things are not on sale because they feel who cares about sales, and then there are some who are both sale not sale, right? But that segment of your list who only purchases unless you have it on sale. Will really, really jump on this because that's their window of time where they feel like, oh, I have to take advantage of this. It's a point of urgency. Sales are very much about taking advantage of urgency, you know. So I would absolutely do that. I think you have a great reason to, and you want to make sure you write about that reason. And during the holidays, usually, like this time of year, these holidays right now that we're about to enter into, you can have a longer-term sale, too. Sometimes, some parts of the year, it's better to have, like, a three-day sale and then just end it.
Mm-hmm.
But some parts of the year, it's actually better to have longer it gives people time. They're busy. They may not, you know, catch it because, you know, how everybody's mm-hmm. running around between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's just crazy. So you might even consider doing like a week-long sale. So maybe starting it on a, I don't know, when were you planning on starting it? Do you have a date in mind?
Well,
like the day after Thanksgiving, maybe? Or?
Well, I could start it the day after Thanksgiving. I do need to give myself some time to get myself together to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's accurate. But yeah, I mean, the day that, you know, a kind of a, I noticed there's now a small business Saturday there. So there's Black Friday, but somehow there's now a new promotional thing of a small business Saturday.
Hmm.
That's the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
So well, you can do whatever you want. I mean,
yeah.
I think starting on Black Friday for you makes sense because of your birthday if you want to promote it that way.
Yes.
So I would start it then.
Yeah, and then that leads me to what are the good dates for communication?
Okay.
From now, in November and December, like the dates to send things out, to send reminders, like that.
Okay, let me see. You're talking in general for everybody?
I'm talking specifically about communicating with my clients. And then I have a question about the best day to get divorced.
Okay, so but in general for your clients, so the universal, that's what I'm asking. It's not the personal,
yeah.
It's the universal.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay, so December is a 10 universal month. And so good communication days, and I need to open my laptop and look at my calendar because I can't.
Yeah, I'm either an 8 or a 5 because I'm 8 for two things and 5 for the other two things. Whatever, my.
Okay, let's see here. Hold on. I'm just going. Because you don't want to do this on a weekend, so that's why I'm opening my calendar. I just want
to
double check.
Thank you.
Okay, so really good days are, now, if you start, you're talking about communicating in general, like just anything, not for the sale, right? Or what are you
both.
Talking about?
Both.
Okay. So if you start the sale in November, we're still in that 9 months. And so
yes.
On the 28th, the day after Thanksgiving, would be a 10-1 day. That's very good. It's new beginnings. It's good. It's a good day for you to start the sale. Then the next time you would talk to them, I would think, I mean, if it was me, I would email them on that Monday for sure. And that's a good day just because it's an 11, which is 2, which is very good for communication in terms of one-on-one, you know, reaching out to them,
mm-hmm.
new beginnings, all of that. It's December now, blah, blah, blah. It's the first. It's a 10-1 month. It's good. So then 12, 13, 14. The Thursday is awesome because it's a 14-5, and 5
okay.
is about communication. And then I would think you need to end your sale either on that Friday or the following Monday, the 8th, just in general, just
okay.
as a business perspective, that's when I would end the sale. The 8th is a 9, let's see, 10 plus 8, yeah, it's a 9 universal day, so it is a day of endings. So that may be a really good day for you to end it, is that day.
Great. And is there a day between now and my birthday that would, because the first thing I'd like to send out is not a sale or anything else. It's just like, I'm so grateful for you in my life. So it's just like a general being back in touch, communication kind of thing.
Okay, that's more for you. So let's look at your numbers here. So 12-3, let's see, 11, so 10 plus 7. So you are currently in a 16-year?
Yes, because I would be, yeah, I'm going into a 17-year because I'm an 8 and my year's going to be an 8.
Exactly, but before your birthday, you're still in the 16-year, so you're still in an 18-9 month until your birthday.
Yes.
Once your birthday comes around, it's Jif. So before your birthday, you're 18-9. So in terms of sending that newsletter on a day that makes sense, you're thinking of next week or this week?
By the end of this week or next week. Either one would be.
Okay. So 18 plus 4. I don't have your three important numbers in front of me. Do you know those? 8 is one of them, we know, because it's 26.
And 5 is the other one.
Okay, so I have 5 and 8. Okay, good. So the 13 would not work. I wouldn't do it on, well, would I do it on Friday? You could do it Friday, the 14th. It's a 5-day for you, and you are a 5. And it is a 5-day for everyone, actually. So that's a good day to communicate. So that's a good one. Then the 17th, I love for you. I mean, 17th in itself, that day is one of the most marvelous days of the whole year. I'll probably go for that day. Yeah,
go for that day.
I'm actually going to shoot a little video
on
that.
And that gives me a little more time, too.
Yeah, it's just such a gorgeous day. And it's the 17th, and the whole date adds up to 17 because we're in a 9 universal month. So mm-hmm. It's a magical month anyway because of that doubling of everything. But so that day I absolutely love, leaving a legacy behind. So that's what I would do. I would do the 17th.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so you had one more question?
Our intention is to have our divorce final by December 31st or before. And I was just wondering if there was a better or worse day to have that be final.
Will it most likely be December?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's a 1 month for you, so that's pretty – well, actually, no. What is it? What is – let's see. You would have just entered a 17 year, so it's a 20 month. Okay, it's all about relationships. The two. Okay, so let's look here. You're talking about the signing of the papers?
Yes. Yeah, the final, okay. The finalization.
Okay. Okay, so if you do it on the 9th, or the 18th, or the 27th, that date for you is a double new beginnings day.
Mm.
And for, in general, the 9th and the 18th and the 27th is 9, so that's like endings. So that's mm-hmm. a really good, those are good days in general for you this in December. For, let's see, 24... you're an 8 and a 5. Anything else? Let's see.
Other
dates, the 3rd.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, it would have to be, I think, the 9th or the 18th because the 27th is a Saturday. Although
okay, yeah, I'm just throwing these out. So,
it's really appealed to me being the end of the year, but I don't.
The year, yeah. You do have the 3rd, the 12th, the 21st, and 30th, because that's a 23 date for you. And though 23 is nice because it is a shift, and you are a 5, and 23 is Royal Star of the Lion. It's very strong energy. So those are that's another choice, and then there's one more I'm gonna look at, which I really like also, is the 6th, the 15th, and the 24th, and those are nice because for you they add up to an 8 personal day, which is very empowering, mm-hmm. and you are an 8, and also the 6th part of it, the 24, the 6th, that's the 15. That's about love and family and nurturing and all of that. So those are the main.
Well, and you mentioned the 30th, which it has a lot of appeal just because it's right at the end of the
mm-hmm.
year.
That works. Yep. Yeah, I don't know what day of the week that is, but.
It's a Tuesday or something. Yeah, it's a Tuesday.
Okay, well, that would work. Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, good luck with all of that.
Well, thank you. It's going to turn out how it turns out. There was a huge blow up today, but I just get that that's what goes on in the process of
it. Yeah, you know, sometimes you have these at the end because you have to sort of iron out the fact that things are different between you, and it's just confirmation. Sometimes, unfortunately, you sometimes have these moments in your relationship as it's breaking up where it's just, you know, you're directing energy that's been held in for a long time too in many ways. And it's a release. And like I keep saying, it's better to release on your pillow than a person, but sometimes the person does need to hear what you have to say just so that there's an understanding, you know, between you of why this is happening, you know. So yeah, well, good luck. I hope you don't have too many more of those moments because they are very stressful, you know.
Well, this one is probably one of the most final ones because it was him saying to me, do you unbelievably, incredibly think that what you've contributed to this 20-year relationship, not monetarily but otherwise, is equivalent to what I've contributed monetarily.
Wow.
And
okay.
It took all the courage I had to say, yes, actually I do believe that.
Well, that shouldn't take very much courage. It should just be a fact that you, you know what I mean?
That he just said, that's incredible, that's unbelievable, I can't imagine you would say that. That's the logic.
But you know what? Let me just say,
yeah.
Shirley, here's what happens. When you're going through a separation, you say things that you don't mean. And it's just part of this sort of anger stuff that comes up. So I doubt that he actually meant that. But in some ways, some people just want to get back at you because they're frustrated themselves. So they say things they don't mean. So, and maybe he did, even if he did mean it, it's all water under the bridge. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he thinks, right? Does it matter in the end?
Yeah,
you're divorcing.
Ultimately, it doesn't, and having lived together and lived and loved and all of that, it feels like it matters right in this minute. I mean, I feel
yeah,
the
because you're bruised by it. I get that, but in the end,
yeah.
You'll be so happy when you're completely not with him, and the divorce is final, and you'll realize all of this was just part of the process, and it really is meaningless in the end.
I felt really calm through it. I mean, I noticed
good.
I check in with my body. My body
yeah.
is utterly, utterly calm. So
yeah,
you know,
good. That's good.
Well, thank
that's
you.
Good.
I think I've got my dates. I've got my ideas. I'm good to go.
Good.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Shirley, and happy birthday on Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Okay.
You.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have one more caller here. Hello, it's Tanya.
Hello, Tanya. It's Fiona.
Hi, Fiona. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, so what's your question?
Well, I just got to, what is the private AAM webinar this Saturday? What is that?
Oh, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Oh, my gosh, I'm so on overload. I totally forgot to mention that.
I was on your webinar, and when you lost the sound, I thought, oh, boy, I don't know you, because we could see you, but we couldn't hear you. And I thought,
that was just an issue at the time. You know, when you do these live stream events, sometimes you do have technical issues. It's almost almost everyone I've seen that's been 5 hours or that amount of length, there's always something technically you have to deal with. And at that moment in time, we were dealing with that.
But you know what? You looked like you were totally together and it was all fine. And so
that's good. I'm glad I looked
very good. You might have been scrambling in your head or inside of you, but you looked completely at ease and calm. So,
well, you know what's so funny is what you guys didn't hear is that I had the feed to my team in my earphones. So they were telling me, I'm not sure you're on, Tanya. Let's check. Oh, why don't you ask your list? Why don't you ask people who are, you know? So I was getting all this feedback, and I didn't know if I was live or not. So I was trying to figure out from all these different angles what the heck was going on. So it was like I didn't know whether to speak to you guys or not, and I was hearing them, you know, my team speak to me, and so it was pretty crazy.
Well, it's just, I think you did very, very well. So,
Good.
I was totally impressed with that. And my friend, I had a friend with me that was my guest, and she kept saying, "Wow, she's pretty together, isn't she?" So I'm going, "Well, yeah, she's done a few of these things." So I said, "Yeah, she's probably at least had the experience." I said, "I don't know what that would be like to first do that." So yeah. So
no matter if you've done it once or a million times, it's always stressful because you have so much on the line with your team working for you and people wanting this and that. It's just hard. It's not easy. But the wonderful thing is, you're right, I did not freak out. And the reason is I knew my material. I'm comfortable with my material. And if you love what you do and you're comfortable with your material, you can step up under any circumstances and still be there, you know. So that's what saved me is I just love what I do. And so even when 20 pages of questions came in and I didn't know which one to choose, I just intuitively just went to the page and, you know, allowed myself to intuit, okay, which question to answer. You know?
Yep. And that's
so,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Good job. Good job.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, it's really good when Mastermind members and Numerology Academy members actually tune into these events that I do because you actually are learning the other side of it as well. It's not just the actual content I'm putting out there, but the other side of it, because I will be talking to you like I am now about the event, you know, on the other side of it. So it's good. And I did that. You know, with my mentors, I do that all the time. I'm constantly I'm seeing how they're doing things, and I'm learning from that.
Right.
You know, so
yeah,
it's really good. Yeah, yeah. So, what's your question?
Well, what was so this webinar, the private one, that's this Saturday?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. God, my
that's
brain.
Okay.
Freeze.
That's okay.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So this Saturday, we're having a wonderful webinar just for Mastermind members, and it's at 11 a.m. Pacific, so that's 2 p.m. Eastern. And I will be sending out another email to you about that probably when you receive the recording to this one, just to remind you. And so we're going to send out a link on Friday, I believe. So you'll be getting that link, and then we'll send it probably out again on Saturday morning. And so it's very similar to what happened last week with Saturday's webinar. So we're going to be live together. I'm going to do I'm going to go over how to sell because that was a big request is to actually how do you do that, you know, when you're on the phone with a client. And we're going to look at it from many, many different angles. So there's going to be a lot of content. It's going to be on PowerPoint this time, and it'll all be recorded. So you have this webinar.
Okay.
You know, you can use it, and then you can call in at the end and ask me any questions about it as well. So that's a special one I'm doing here near the end of the year. And I hope all of you are actually going to be on it. If you're not, you know, that's fine. You can watch in hindsight and ask me questions on our December call. But
exactly.
It is meant to really be interactive. So
but this fast I'm going because on the 15th, I'm actually working an election. So that I don't think at the time frame that you're going to be doing will probably be a busy time at the election center.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
you're going to watch it. Look, here's the thing. It's going to be recorded.
Okay.
And it'll be available. And I don't know how quickly because I'm using a different system.
The system
we used Saturday, it was available very soon afterwards. It may not be available until the next day, depending on what system.
Okay.
I'm not sure. My team will let me know. But you will get a recording of it certainly by Monday. Next week and be able to access it and email me any questions if you have any about it. So,
okay.
So that's that. And so that's the special event. I wanted to make it unique to Mastermind members and you know, the event on Saturday was, I thought, had amazing content about next year, about wealth generation.
Right.
But it wasn't geared towards business building. So I wanted it to be specific for my mastermind members in terms of just really looking at that part of, because that's why we're together as entrepreneurs, is to look at something very specific that is rich in content regarding your business. So
right.
That's why I decided to do a completely separate event for you. So that's what we're doing, and I'm excited about it, and I need to recover first, but then I'll be back. That's it.
Then the other question I have, I tried to, because kind of whatever you're calling that new mastermind group, it's similar to that, or that new one that you have, that you people could sign up for
mm-hmm.
the next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're calling it, that you announced on your the webinar you had on Saturday on the 8th.
It's called Wealth Generation Mentoring Program. Wealth Generation Mentoring Program, and it's specifically designed for anyone who wants to generate abundance. So if you are interested in generating more wealth in your life, this program will specifically address that. And it's actually meant to appeal not just to entrepreneurs, though I feel those are the most capable of generating wealth because you're in control of your destiny, obviously. So entrepreneurs can do this very quickly. But it's also what I wanted is for people who even are not entrepreneurs to be able to join a program of mine where they can access the astronumerology, their wealth code, with me throughout the year in a way that will help them. And
right.
also be around people like you who are entrepreneurs, because being around entrepreneurs is one of the most exciting things for anyone, because entrepreneurs are, like I said, in control of their destiny. And most people are not. Most 9-to-5ers, you know, normal job people
right.
are not in control of their financial destiny because of the nature of their business, you know, the nature of their job, I should say. So it's a really fabulous opportunity for everyone to partake in a group that will be much larger, you know, because of the nature of it. I mean, we've already had many, many sign-ups for this. So, and the price point is much lower because I wanted it to be accessible to just a wide variety of people, you know. And so if you click on that actual link that I handed out, you know, on that day, TanyaGabrielle.com/wealth, you will actually notice there is a private version of that program. And it's you have to go down to the register now button, and right below it you'll see if you're interested in the private version. So I'm actually having a very, very new opportunity available, and that is what I'm going to offer you guys.
Well, that's
so,
what to go
you can do a preview of that now, because that's one of the things I was just going to mention next Saturday. So if you want to look at that, because I only have 8 spots,
well,
that's going to be the continuation of the mastermind, is that private program.
I was trying to go into that, and I couldn't access it to even look at it on Saturday. And so,
you couldn't go to the page? Which page are you talking about?
The page about that slash wealth, Tanya Gabrielle. TanyaGabrielle.com/wealth. I tried to go and look at it, and I couldn't get into it on Saturday because my friend was here, and we couldn't get into it. So, because she was interested. So,
okay. So here's the thing. I can access it, and we've had many people sign up. So I know it's accessible. So what I would ask you, were you both at the same computer or different computers when you did that?
Same computer.
Okay, so what you need to do is just restart your browser or use a different browser because it is definitely up.
Okay.
Let me just get this page. Just checking it now. Yeah, it's up. I'm in the program. So, and it's been up. So, yeah, that's
so is this on your web page then, or is it this is
no, been- no. And the reason is because at least not now it's not. It might be in the future, but right now it's totally only accessible to people who were part of that webinar, part of that seminar on Saturday. So you're the only ones who know about it. I'm not writing about it. I'm allowing the people who were on that seminar to access it first, because you actually invested in it, and I'm not going to market this to my list. I may not ever market it to my list because we may fill up before I would even have that opportunity. But if I do have that opportunity still to do, it would be way after you guys have access to it and can read about it. So what I was saying is on that page, you will notice there is a actual link that says, please click here for information on private wealth generation mentoring, only 8 spots available. That's the continuation of the mastermind, but it's just a slightly different format. It's actually more private mentoring, and it's a lower price point, too. So I think it's a lower price point. Anyway, you have to check that out. But it is actually private stuff. I mean, it's really an awesome opportunity. So that's what I was going to let you guys know on Saturday, but I'm mentioning it to you now because really there are only 8 spots that I will make available for that because I'm totally booked up with my VIP program, and so I only have so much time. So since you asked, there's your answer. And I hope you can access it. You know.
Yeah, I'll just have to go in on my computer and just see. I don't know why I couldn't access it, so yeah, I have no idea.
Well, hopefully you can just use another browser or restart your browser and get back in.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good then.
Okay.
I just had all sorts of questions on all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, because everything's pretty well for myself. I feel like I'm moving forward. So, yeah.
Good. I'm so happy to hear that. And I know I gave you a lot of content today, which I hope was going to be useful to you in the future. I'm sure it will, because if you want to do anything regarding teleseminars, webinars, or live events, you can use that content, you know. So yeah, I'm so glad you're doing well, Fiona. It just is so exciting to me. So it's fabulous. So
well,
good. And if you want any coaching, you know, the next teleseminar we have in December, shoot me over an email and let me know if you want me to check anything on your website. You know, this is your opportunity to ask me those questions. Okay?
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay, good. You're welcome. Yeah. Have a wonderful – I know you don't celebrate Thanksgiving. You're early in Canada, right, because you're from the north. So. That's right. Exactly. So have a wonderful November.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Yes, you're welcome. And I hope, you know, all of us, you know, just really move forward now. This is a fabulous time. I'm telling you, please take advantage of it. We're moving into 2015. It's the last few weeks of 2014, and the energy is ramping up, and it's just a really wonderful moment for all of us to really shift. So so thank you, Fiona.
Thank you again.
And you're welcome. And I will see all of you on Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern. And I can't wait for that. So excited about it. And meanwhile, have a fabulous few days, all of you. All right. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.